This is episode 234 on December 14th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I'm Dave Podner.
And I'm Greg McMillan.
Welcome back, gentlemen. It's been, 2 weeks since our last show? And mainly because it was my fault. It was my duty week, and I was getting ready to fly to Portland, Oregon. So I was a little overwhelmed and needed to skip last week. How are you guys doing? We'll start with you, Dave.
I'm doing good this week. I will blame Matt for one thing here.
Uh-oh.
And I'll blame him when he's not on the show. As he was starting to complain about stick weather, you know, that wonderful time before the snow, but after all the leaves fall.
Yeah, stick season.
Yeah, stick season. Yeah. Well, at least where I'm at, we got snow season now. Last night we got around 5-6 inches or so.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm blaming Matt for that. I mean, it looks nice and pretty as long as you don't have to drive in it. But,
sure.
Yeah, I'm blaming him for that. And actually, last week being off kind of worked out for me, too, because Ruth was having surgery for carpal tunnel.
That's right.
On Friday morning. And that turned out really well.
Good.
And I would say if anyone, because I know this is frequent with a lot of people who use computers a lot, there's the open surgery, which has we've seen pictures of people with massive scars in their palm and their hands and recovery time that lasts in the weeks and months. She had a very minimally invasive version of the surgery where there's only like 3 stitches in her hand.
Yeah, nice.
And she actually, and didn't force her to, decided to go to work day of surgery.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, and she's doing the, we're having the second, the left hand done tomorrow morning.
Okay. Wow.
So, yeah. And, you know, it's recovery was great. So always happy about that.
That's good to hear. Cause, any surgery, it's just not something you want to do. You know, it's usually a have to. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is one the doctor said, I wish it would have seen me 5 years ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. If we wouldn't have known it, we would have went 5 years ago, but at least it's getting fixed. And it was an immediate relief. She went from, oh, I'm holding up my phone to my ear and my hand's dead asleep to, yeah, it's fixed now. So
nice.
That's always good.
Good. How are you doing, Greg?
Not too bad. We have winter up here now. from what I hear, we're supposed to get more winter over the weekend.
Wow.
So I haven't had to break out the snowblower yet, but I've given the shovel a good workout.
Good.
I think we're past stick season to the point where I can hopefully get some nice winter photos coming up, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't stay too stormy, but I did have a chance to go down. We have a display that goes for a few blocks downtown in my hometown here of Christmas lights, and I put some in the group, I think, and if I didn't, I will. But it's a pretty cool display. People come from miles around to see it, and you know, there's all kinds of, a lot of the local businesses put displays in and whatnot. So yeah, it's pretty cool, and it's always nice to see it when there's snow on the ground too.
Yeah.
So
it kind of emphasizes the season.
Yeah. Now I just want to say you guys are dropping out on me here the odd time. So if I disappear, Joe, I'm gonna just switch over to my phone and get the signal from my phone, and I'll try it.
Okay.
But for now, I'll stay hooked up with how I am. So
very
just kind of keep an eye on the Skype chat.
Yeah, Greg's a little mobile right now, so that may happen. All right, well, good.
Yeah.
I had an interesting weekend. Like I said, I flew to Portland, Oregon, and my wife and I did, and we went there for my sister's wedding, and she's the youngest of us four. She has three older brothers, so you know she had to be tough. But I got to meet my brother-in-law for the first time. I had, you know, FaceTimed with him, and it was awesome. He's a wonderful guy. I'm very happy for them. Got to try some new stuff. He's Vietnamese, and so we had Vietnamese food. We went to a restaurant and had different cuisine that I normally didn't either try or didn't have the opportunity to, but it was a lot of fun, and the weather was cooperative to a point. My wife said it was too cold, but I enjoyed it. It wasn't snowing; it was sunshine too during the whole time, and so it was nice. But I got to play with some of those tips that we had from a couple episodes ago, one of them being the panoramic. I did some panoramic shots of the chapel where my sister got married, and I held it close, sort of close to me, and just pivoted my body. And I have to say, they turned out pretty good. I mean, even with all of Apple's, algorithms and everything, it was it seemed very seamless, and I liked how it turned out. So
yeah, I've had pretty good luck doing panels that way too.
Yeah. So I took some pictures, mainly of family. I got to see a cousin from Oregon I haven't seen in quite a long time, my uncle was my uncle and aunt were down from Canada, and they live in the Vancouver-ish area. They just moved to Chilliwack. Is it Chilliwack? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was a great time. I took some pictures, but I let the wedding photographer do her job. And I can't wait to see those images when they finally appear.
Yeah, but sometimes it's better to enjoy the moment than it is to try to capture it. There's just some things that, okay, we're kind of like the photographers of the family, I'm supposing that. And people kind of expect us to take pictures and all that stuff, but it's nice to just sit back and enjoy the moment.
Yeah. Now, I did get to play with something. My mom bought a GoPro knockoff, but it was a small video device. I can't remember the name of it, but she pulled it out, still in the package, and said, "Here, why don't you play with it and see how it works?" I'm like, "Okay." And so she grabbed my dad's little portable tripod, and he's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Where's that going?" I said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." And so I put it on there and just started taking video. It's a wide angle video, so I didn't have to make drastic turns, but it was fun to kind of just play with it. I haven't seen what it actually looks like on the computer. My folks have it, but I think I got probably about 10 or 15 minutes worth of video while the reception was going on. Actually before the wedding and during the reception, so that, I kind of got everybody who was there, on video.
Okay.
So that they can at least have that. There was a videographer. He was pretty good about you know, whoever was talking, you know, he moved the camera so that they can be seen and all that. But it was a fun event. I really enjoyed it. It was nice to have family time and, you know, kind of time to get away a little bit. We left out on a Saturday and got back Tuesday night. So it was a quick trip. And then I went straight back to work. yeah.
But, now, did you have jet lag?
Not entirely. I think I was just worn out because part of
it's only about 3 hours, right?
Yeah, only. I don't think I had enough time there to get my body fully acclimated. I forced it on Pacific time, but when I got back, it was like, you know, I got home 9:30. I was in bed. I was out. I was gone. So that would have been 6:30 Pacific. I think I was just physically worn out because my sister had me do some chores while I was there, mainly lifting heavy wood. So, before the wedding, get everything set up. After the wedding, get everything torn down. And, I was wiped out. So, I think that helped me to kind of stay on, Eastern Standard Time.
Well, like you said, that and airplane travel is just a pain in the butt anyway, most of the time. So that just wears you out too.
Day. Yeah, you're looking at a whole day.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, just of traveling, yeah. Especially when you got what like a 5 hour flight, Joe.
Yeah, going from the East Coast to the West Coast, we had one stop in Chicago, and in reality, when you go from the East Coast to the West Coast, it helps because it's a long trip, but it doesn't feel that long because you actually have more hours in the day to play with. When you go from west to east, you'll lose 3 hours in transit. So, you know, you're virtually losing 8 hours of your day when you go from the West Coast to the East Coast, even though you have 5 hours of travel. So basically, you know, you leave about midday and it's already nighttime when you get to your final destination. And it was a direct flight also. But, you know, that's typical. People who travel a lot, they're like, yeah, we just deal with it. That's sort of how the way it is. But you always feel like if you leave 7 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast and you get to, you know, like San Jose, San Francisco around noon, you're like, wow, that seems like it should be wrong. And all of a sudden you have the rest of the day ahead of you. And when you get home at, you know, 7 o'clock, you're like, get home and then go to bed. But all right, well, let's go ahead and start getting into a little bit of our focus point. So let me go ahead and play this.
Focus point.
All right. So I wish we had last week, but, you know, wishes are wishes and, you know, stuff happens. But every year we kind of get to this point in the season where we're like, hey, you know, what are some good ideas for people for Christmas, especially people who are, you know, starting to get into iPhone photography or, you know, smartphone photography. And I thought we would do a quick, you know, kind of go around of what we thought are good gift ideas for budding photographers. And I thought maybe we could do one or two items, and I'll even get the chat room to throw some ideas at us too, of what are some items that are crucial or that would be fun to iPhone photography. And I'll go ahead and start and give everybody else a little bit more time. But, you know, I'm going to, let's see here. I'm going to pick Gorilla Pod, Joby. There we go.
Oh, okay.
Joby has a, you know, a Gorilla Pod and a tripod clamp, or, you know, the phone clamp. And it's a very good combination. I'm going to make that one item. But it's a very good combination because it allows you to take your phone and place it on a tripod or anything else that has the screw size for the socket. And I've used it many times. The GorillaPod, I've used probably half the time that I've actually used the clamp. And reason being is that sometimes you need an actual tripod to get a certain height. So when I'm doing video, I like to pull out that tripod and stick my phone on there and just hit record, because I don't have to hold it. Even though the iPhone has great image stabilization, your arms get tired. And if, as long as things aren't moving, you can just leave it there, capture the moment, whether it's a speaking event or if you're far enough away and you have a sporting event, or, you know, whatever. You could be sitting in front of it doing a monologue for a video. A tripod or, you know, a GorillaPod and a phone clamp are essential, I think, for anybody that wants to do video. Not only that, but I think it's also essential for, you know, long exposures. If you're doing a long exposure or a low light exposure, having your camera as still as possible is crucial so that you don't introduce motion to your image, unless you're going for motion. But that would be sort of my number one, since they're both from the same company. The other one that I think is crucial is, I would say, a wireless trigger. And a wireless trigger is great because it gives you a couple options. It allows you to capture a shot with just the press of the button, or it allows you time after you press the button with the phone's timer. It gives you time to press the button, put it away, and go stand in the picture so that you're not holding it in your hand as you're taking the picture. So family portraits, self portraits, even the long exposures, something where you don't want to touch your phone. I think those are two pretty good gift ideas or things that you should have in your bag when it comes to iPhone photography. What about you, Dave?
I was just going to say.
Uh-oh, we're losing Greg.
If you have an Apple Watch, that works.
Oh, okay. An Apple Watch, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so a lot of the popular camera apps allow for remote triggering from the watch, like Pro Camera, Slow Shutter, Camera Plus, I think, does. But the one that works the best is the native camera app, because on the watch you can actually see, focus, and adjust exposure on the watch. So you can actually see what the camera is looking at. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
And again, nice. Like I say, you can tap on the watch to focus where you want to focus and all that stuff. So it's almost like it's almost like having your phone right on your wrist and working it that way. But it's pretty expensive remote trigger, but it does work well.
Yeah. Well, Greg, do you want to comment in on that, Dave?
Sure. Well, in terms of the tripod, because I just recently, I think I said that in the podcast a few episodes ago about it makes a huge difference, like you said, in terms of trying to get like night photos of different decorations around the house or when we had the supermoon, just having that ability to set up and even not having a remote shutter, but using a camera app with a timer on it.
Yeah.
Where that kind of, hit the button and give you time to walk away to minimize any shaking from actually hitting the camera. That makes a big difference too.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference. I didn't get a GorillaPod, but I got, a smaller one on that size.
Yeah.
And having that where it's like, okay, it's almost small enough I can actually put it in my coat pocket. So it's not a matter of, well, I have to leave this in the car or I have it at home and I have to remember, am I going to take it? Am I going to need it? But having something that's portable makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Greg, what are your ideas?
Okay, I would say, like Ted in the chat room says, a bit pricey, but anything from Moment. And I would have to really agree with that because the Moment lenses are absolutely amazing. And but yes, they can be a bit pricey, and a little more pricey for me than you folks in the States, but worth it.
Yeah.
I think so anyway. I mean, I really have a lot of fun with the macro lens. And the nice thing about having a Plus phone, like whether it's a 7 Plus, 8 Plus, or the 10, with the dual lenses, you can put the lens on the 2x lens to get in even closer. And they are a lot of fun. But now to go a little more affordable, I have just ordered, and there should be coming on Monday, from the, and now you have to have a Mac to do this because it's in the Photos app.
Oh.
And now I don't know if it works in, because you can look at the photos on your Apple ID or your iCloud account on even on Windows, because you can still access all that stuff on Windows through your Apple ID, but on the Mac there's a projects section where you can make cards, books, calendars. So I've put together a calendar for 2018 with a selection of my photos for each month. And you can also incorporate, if you can bring in the information from a calendar that you have. So with my work calendar, I have all my shifts on there because I'm a shift worker. And I just turned on my work calendar and it automatically populates the whole year with my shifts.
Okay.
And so I'm going to be giving one to my parents, and I'm having one for the house at home here. So now, my parents can tell, oh, you're working that day. Okay, well, we'll plan it for another day, type of thing. So that's pretty cool. And for me, they were only about $20 a piece.
Nice.
But there's shipping and tax on top of that. Sure. So it's almost $50 for the two of them, or maybe a little more than 50 for the two of them. But the turnaround time is fantastic. And I thought for sure this time of year they'd be longer, but I'll bet you it'll be maybe 5 ordered it to the time they're going to come.
We lost you for a little bit. Yeah. But what were you saying? The
turnaround time?
Yes.
Yeah, it was about 5 or 6 days.
Oh, okay. Well, not bad.
And that's real good.
I thought that was pretty impressive for this time of year. Now, that being said, I don't have them yet, but I got the notification from UPS saying they should be delivered on Monday.
Okay. So this is the calendar with the Mac photos, or the you think that the Apple ID might be able to do
well,
it?
Well, you can access your photos. Excuse me. You can access your photos on Windows, basically just in the browser, using your Apple ID. So I don't know if, you know, all the features or not. I haven't tried. And I'm dropping out again, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
just a little.
Oh, this is crazy. But anyway, but yeah, so that would be something that someone would have to experiment with and let us know how that works out, if that feature is even available. But if you have a Mac, in the Photos app, there's a little section on the left-hand side called Projects, and that's where you can do things like that. And the quality is usually pretty good. I got a couple of books done last year, and I mean, I ordered 3 books. So, I mean, I know what printing is all about because I'm a printer in a press room where we make books and magazines and stuff. And to get, you know, pretty good color reproduction, you have to run a few, you know. But so I don't know how many the folks in, I think they're done in New Jersey, the print shop that Apple gets to do these for me anyway. And I don't know how many, you know, they waste trying to get things on, but the color was not too bad.
Nice.
When I got these books. So the calendars, I'm expecting to be pretty good. And it's a calendar where the whole top side is a picture, the bottom side is a month, and it's got those little metal rings, you know. And not like it's not like it's stapled together or anything. It's a, you could flip it right over if you want, type of thing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Very good.
But that would be a pretty nice a gift, I think, for family or friends.
Okay. What else? Do you have anything for? Oh, was the Moment going to be yours also, or?
Well, it was Ted in the chat room that had had that idea, and I just said, you know, I got to agree with him.
Okay.
You know, let's give Ted another shout out here. He said a mobile battery pack.
Yes.
So you know, those things are handy, especially in the cold weather.
Oh, yeah.
If you're shooting in the cold. I mean, I've seen people, when Pokemon Go first came out, I saw people walking around with their phones plugged into these things and the battery pack sticking inside their coat to stay warm.
Yeah.
And the cord's coming out and they're, you know, they're walking around all over looking for these Pokemon.
Yeah, it reminds it reminds me of when I was up in Pennsylvania and Matt and I got together, and you know, I had the problem with my battery where all of a sudden my phone would just shut off, and it took me having to take an extra power source, plug it in to fire it back up for it to say, oh, there actually is power on this battery. But I had to keep doing it. The other thing is, when you travel, you know, you don't always have opportunities to power your devices. When we flew to Oregon, when we flew to Chicago, we actually had a USB option to power our device.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was nice, but it wasn't really fast. They also had a power plug. So if I had just taken out the Apple adapter for the USB, I could have plugged it in there too. But most planes, like when we went from Chicago to Portland and then from Portland back to Charlotte, there was no power options. And so I had my trusty little mobile battery pack to be able to charge my devices if needed. So those are good. Plus, when you actually use those power packs, say if you're doing video is one of the more taxing things you can do on your phone power wise. It'll drain your phone a lot faster. So whether you're watching video or you're taking video, but taking video seems to drain it a lot faster. So whether I do a time lapse or a regular video, a lot of times I'll take that power pack and plug my phone in and let it run off of there, so that that would be the first thing that gives out, and then it could use the camera's the phone's actual battery. And so I have a couple of them. One of them just died, but the other one's still kicking. I got it charging up because I use it every day when I'm at work too. All right, Dave, what are your options?
Well, I would say one thing is an iTunes or a iTunes Store gift card. Mainly, gift cards, I know, sometimes feel like a cop out in terms of, well, I don't know what to get you, so here's a card. But there's so many apps out there where it's not a lot of money, but they may be $2, $3. I know, like, what was Affinity Photo for the iPads up to $10 on sale.
Yeah.
Where you look at it and you think, that looks like an interesting app. If it was free, I'd give it a try. And, you know, if there was a trial version, sure, to give it a try. But I don't know if I want to spend a dollar here, $2 here, $3 here, and all of a sudden you add up to a lot if you want to try a new app or you hear about an app. But if it's like, well, this is a gift card, this is free money.
Yeah.
So once you load it up, it's like, you know what? I'm going to give that a try. I've heard of it and I wanted to try it. And but again, if you're giving the gift, you don't know if someone's heard, but you know, it's play money in a way, a gift card like that.
Well, also with the card, you know, give them ideas of what they can get to help them, yeah, with their photography. You know, whether it's an editing app or a capturing app, you know, there are a plethora of apps to choose from. I mean, if you listen to our show, you can almost go broke with all the different.
Yeah. Well, definitely.
But you know, just you know, if you have a list of apps, say, hey, this is a good app. You know, you, yeah, really should do that. And you know, I remember when I first got my iPhone, when I looked at $199, I'm like, I don't want to do that. And that's because my brain was trained to say no. When I first got a cell phone, things like ringtones and wallpapers and stuff like that were free. And then they got smart. They decided, oh, we're going to charge 99 cents for it. And I'm like, I don't want to give you money for something that I can, you know, barely see or use. Like, why would I want to do that? And so for years, I'm like refusing to purchase anything except for the service until I got my iPhone and I had to break that habit. I was like, 99 cents. And then I had to talk to myself and say, really? 99 cents? Is it really that?
It's less than a cup of coffee.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, you don't even, there are fewer and fewer things in life that cost 99 cents, let alone, yeah, somebody's program that they sat down and actually developed, you know, put, you know, hundreds or thousands of man hours and then hundreds or thousands of dollars into. And I'm sitting here going, oh man, 99 cents. And then you have the ones, yeah, that were $4.99. That was even worse. Yeah. But you know, that could help somebody to kind of pull the trigger and be able to do it and find out it doesn't actually hurt, you know. It's actually a you know, it's a good thing because people have to eat, you know. The, yeah, apps are good, and you know, they're worth what little money we do put into it. It's definitely worth it, and I you know, I'm actually surprised that they don't cost more.
Yeah, and you know, I tried to take a course on writing code to do apps, and I couldn't keep up to it, so I had to let it go. But I know what goes into that kind of thing, and wow, I mean, it's a lot of work. It, yeah, really is a lot of work. And even people who are really good at writing code, It's still a lot of work for them because, you know, and for a lot of people, it's their bread and butter.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't mind dropping a couple of bucks here and there for an app that I'm going to use.
And that doesn't even, you know, even after they develop it, that doesn't even cover the iOS changes or the device changes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's updates all the time.
Yeah.
And we almost got used to it now where, I mean, if you're of a certain age, you remember getting desktop software and, you know, then 2 or 3 years later, they come out with a new version.
Yeah.
And they would have the upgrade price and they would have the regular price.
Yeah.
But I remember something even like WordPerfect, where I remember using that for a word processor, was like, well, this is the upgrade price. It's only $200.
Only.
Well, the full price back then was $500 just for a word processor.
Right.
We're talking mid early 90s.
Yep.
I hate to say when $500 was more money, but
Windows 3.1. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now the other gift, it depends on how much money, of course, you have to give, but they did announce the iMac Pro today, starting at just under $5,000.
Only
to start with, yes. And I think I saw someone max it out at $13,000.
Oh my gosh.
Now, if you're doing work which requires high-end video editing,
then it's a write-off.
It's a write-off, and even it's like, well, this or you're doing some major compiling of code, or you're doing something which, you know, if I can go from 10 minutes of time down to 30 seconds worth of time, that's worth my money.
Yeah.
You know, if I have to compile this 10 times a day, my productivity goes up. It's a work reason. It's great. But yeah, if you're doing, oh, I'm going to open up iMovie and make home movies, don't do that.
Oh, $13,000.
As to whether you should get this computer or not, then you don't need it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I mean, before I got my little machine right here, I was debating on whether to get like the smaller laptops. What are they called?
The Airs?
iMac, is it iMac Air or what is it called? Apple Air?
MacBook Air.
MacBook, thank you. It shows you I don't have one. the MacBook Air, you know, I thought, oh, you know, I need something small, something that's light, that, you know, doesn't sound like a jet engine when it gets hot. And thought I was going to go in that direction, but you know, I my wife found my computer and said, hey, do you want to try that one? And I'm like, sure, you know, a couple hundred dollars. Because, you know, anything that's Apple tends to be expensive, you know, but worth it. You know, but I feel like I go through computers like I change my underwear sometimes. And I can't do that with Mac. That's just way too much money.
When I was looking to get my wife something, like, we sold our desktop system, so I wanted, you know, and I've got my MacBook Pro, and I wanted to get her something that she can just, you know, use and play around with. And I was in a store and I was looking at some Windows laptops, and the sales guy in there said, if you want it to last, you've got to get a really good processor.
Yeah.
Because some of the lower end processors, they just don't last. So then I thought, okay, I want this to last. So I ended up getting her a MacBook Air.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like it for her because it didn't have the Retina screen. So I ended up selling it to my sister-in-law. I bought it from me, actually. And I got her what they call just the MacBook. Some people call it MacBook Nothing, MacBook Adorable. You know, it's a really slim, small. I think it's a 12-inch screen.
Yeah.
And it's got a beautiful Retina display. This is going to sound like an ad for Apple here, but it really is a nice computer, and it's everything that she needs. So it's a little more expensive than the MacBook Air, but she's had it for, I think, going on 3 years now, and I mean, it's going to last her, oh, probably another 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for what she does with it. Like, she doesn't do any photography with it or anything, so, I mean, it's just perfect for her, and she really loves it. And she's, you know, she's getting on to using the Mac pretty good. We came from Windows before. So, the whole thing about buying a computer is look at the processor and you gotta make sure it's going to last.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if it's not going to last, buy cheap.
Well, this is it. You know, if you're going to have to replace it, you don't want to be spending a whole lot pile of money every time. But
sure.
Oh, yeah. So cool. I like the list that we have. The ideas are good. If you guys have anything that you think is essential, just let us know. Go on to Facebook and put it in a post or something like that. I don't know if we'll have a single post for all that, but I think we'll try to do something like that. We'd love to hear what you have, and you know, because we don't know all the things that are out there, and everybody's different. They run across things that we'll never see unless somebody brings it to our attention. So just let us know. Oh, speaking of Facebook posts, we have a question. Is it a question post? What would you call it?
It's a Q&A thing. So are you talking about the show?
Yeah. Oh, we're losing Greg. Yeah.
A new year?
Yeah, yeah. So we have a Q&A post that we're going to try and keep closer to the top, but we want people to ask questions. We want to be able to read the question and answer it on the show, and this will be for the beginning of the new year. So through this month of December, we'll start taking questions from people. We may be so good at what we do that nobody will have a question. But I highly doubt that. that's one of the things that we're going to have on the Facebook group. So if you haven't joined us, please go and join us. Oh, real quick, Dave, take a look to see how many people have joined so far.
Okay.
But we have, you know, we want to be able to do it. And then, you know, we're always looking for ideas to talk about things on the show. We kind of started off this year, you know, kind of doing a introductory to photography, kind of what are the things that the terms that we use, the things that we, the best practices and all that. We did for quite a while. I want to say probably half the year. And, that was a lot of fun. But, you know, sometimes ideas or questions that you guys have will help us to kind of give us some content. We want to keep things fresh and current. We don't want to rehash things unless it's important. You know, somebody can say, well, what do you guys mean when you talk about... let's use an example of
like HDR.
Sure.
We'll throw out the phrase HDR, and if you're newer to mobile photography and you've only used point and shoots before.
Yeah.
You like, well, I hear HDR, I even see on my phone it says HDR, but you know, what does it mean and why should I have to buy an app versus what's used on my for the default app type thing?
Yeah. So yeah, we want you guys to ask the questions and hopefully we'll have answers. But if nobody asks a question, we understand. We're that good in what we do. But no, I'm I joke. But yeah, so that's our plan for the beginning of this next year.
Yeah, and right now, looking at the group, we are at 1,592.
1,592. Awesome. Very good. Yeah. All right. Anything else that you guys wanted to add to our discussion?
Nothing more on my end.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move into our post pick of the week. Post pick of the week. All right. So last week we didn't have a show, so we did not pick anything from our Instagram feed, and we have just concluded lights. Was it lights?
It was lights and decorations.
Lights and decorations. Thank you. It is Dave's turn, sort of, but Dave's going to go ahead and pick the image. So I will go ahead and give it to you, Dave. Go ahead.
Oh. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, and honestly, there are so many really good images that were posted, and it's always nice to see the different, not only lights, but the different decorations everyone sees in their local area. So many times, especially when it's really something that's, I think, more local, like decorations versus some of the other ones where it's like, you get to, it's almost a travel feel for it, where you can see what other people do or other decorations that people use. So that's always a nice little bit. The one I picked was from Barbara Aaron Frisch. It's of the Oculus, which not being in New York City, I had no idea what that was.
And yeah.
After looking it up, it's actually the train station at the World Trade Center.
Wow.
And it's a little minimalist in terms of the decorations they put up, but there is, it looks like some kind of light-only Christmas tree in the middle of the train station, and a few projected snowflakes that come down.
Yeah.
But the inside of the building, I think she posted another pic that wasn't part of the post pic, or someone else did. Of more of the structure itself, but the structure itself is just an impressive looking structure, and it almost looks a little Johnny Ive-ish because it's so white,
yeah,
and modern looking. But then you have in the picture here, just right in the middle, this splash of color, which I really like the contrast there.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, it's really cool. It, you know what? It looks like a big, big Apple store.
Yeah.
Because it's such a clean design. You know, there's in the lower right, there's I want to say statues, but I don't know if they're statues, but there's snowmen.
Yeah.
There's two white ones and one that looks like it's chrome.
Yeah.
And yeah. With all these snowflakes being projected down around on the floor and that, you know, it's obvious that it's Christmas time, and it'd be interesting to see, you know, sit here for 5-10 minutes to see what else happens around this room, because it's massively big, and there's people, you know, all over the place, and it looks like a whole pile of little.
Oh no! I think we lost him.
Displaying.
Oh, there we go.
There, how's that?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
You said there was a whole pile of what?
It looks like little kiosks or booths or something. And yeah. It looks like they may have some artwork on display, possibly places where you can buy, you know, Christmas gifts maybe. But the bright splash of color in the middle of the screen, it just draws your eye to it. And it's like a Christmas tree made with just made out of lights or something. It's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, I like the busyness of the people walking through the station, and then the symmetry, you know, of the ceiling and the sides of the station as it kind of slopes up to towards a point that really catches the eye, and then the different color, the blue and the orange in contrast below with the white. I think it's a good image. And I like the colors of that tree too, in contrast. Very cool.
And I got to hand it to Barbara. She is a really good photographer. I follow her on Instagram, and she takes amazing things. And I just wish I could be in a place like New York City or, you know, one of these bigger centers that have a lot of things to photograph. I'm in a small town, and I have to really sometimes struggle to find things to photograph, but she does a lot of good work, and it's fitting that she gets the post pick of the week.
Yes, well, on that, congratulations, Barbara. You are our post pick of the week. If you want to be featured as post pick of the week, go on to our Facebook group and look for the pin post with our weekly photo challenge. Every 2 weeks, we will pick a new challenge, and this gives people the chance to be able to not only participate, but to see what other people are doing and get some inspiration, ask questions. How did you get this image? What did you use? What type of app did you use to edit it? It's a great way of interacting with each other. And who knows if the image you put in there, one of us who gets to pick it likes it, it gets to be our post pick of the week. So, in the mid of the weekly photo challenge, the week that we have, we choose from our Instagram feed from the hashtag Tiny Shutter. And that just reminded me, Instagram had an update where you can actually follow hashtags. And so I went and I followed Tiny Shutter. And so now you don't have to go searching for it. It'll just kind of show up in your feed. I'm wondering if I'm going to get redundant images, since most of the people that post to the hashtag Tiny Shutter I already follow. Or
I think what it does, Joe, is it gives you, you know, when you search for a hashtag on Instagram, it gives you the top 9.
Yeah.
And then below that, basically the rest of them.
Yeah.
What you're going to see in your feed is the top 9. And then, but you could always just tap on the hashtag. I don't know if you can or not, but anyway, I think you can tap on the hashtag at the top of the screen to take it right to the feed. I'm not sure. I haven't tried it.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that what comes up in your feed is the popular ones, or the ones that they put at the top of the search.
I was hoping it'd be the ones of people that I don't follow. You know, that would actually be...
it could be.
No, because it partially is, because when I added it on, and it's in the feed, and it's people who, you know, it gives you... You can always click on them and follow them, but yeah, there are people that I'm not following currently.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it is a nice little feature where... It's always good to spread out and see what else is out there, and just doing a hashtag of, you know, whatever, it does give you that opportunity to say, oh, I wouldn't have expected to look at this person or their photo, because I had, you know, there's so many people on Facebook, on social media these days, it's really hard to know who to follow or who not to follow.
Yeah.
Where it kind of gives you that, and I heard someone else mention this too, where you can use that hashtag for an event. So not only everyone, of course, should be doing the hashtag Tiny Shutter.
Yeah.
But if there is a big event happening, follow the hashtag for that, too. You can see everyone's photos from that event.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through, and I'm like, I thought I'd run across it. I wonder how that works. I guess I'm just going to have to keep playing with it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think all social media, you know, the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, they've all gone away to, well, here's everything you wanted to see in chronological order.
Yeah. Hmm.
So now it's, well, we're going to have an algorithm that will determine which ones you should see first, second, and third. And I'm like, no, I want to see what the latest one is, just work down from there. But
see, there was a big outcry on Twitter. Instagram posted on Twitter in their Twitter account about this following these hashtags. And the plethora of people who commented on that post saying, bring back chronological order. And so, of course, I had to chime in. I put the basically the same thing, but I also included the CEO and co-founder of Twitter in the tweet.
Or at least give us the option.
I don't know, but you know, there's so many people that want the chronological order brought back.
Yeah. Yeah. I could, you know, I can see sometimes, you know, taking, you know, the way they have it now, but at least give us an option to choose and don't tell us what we want.
Yeah, 'cause even Facebook gives you that option. You can go up in Facebook and under newsfeed, you can pick most recent or whatever the other choice is. But I generally try to go to most recent so I can see what people are putting on, like, you know, within the last little while.
But then they also kind of like backhanded go, oh, well, you can do that for a little bit, but then we'll go ahead and turn it back so that you have to look at it the way we want you to.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it would be nice to have, like, especially for like the group, where we could pin maybe two posts at the top instead of just one.
Yes.
Or have a pinned post and say, keep these posts, these other two or three posts near the top.
Yeah.
Instead of, because like you said, and also like Ruth will look at something on the computer and then she'll look at something on her phone and like, okay, this was posted a day ago. I didn't see it.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. We need to choose our next weekly photo challenge. So what kind of ideas do you guys have?
Well, because it's the holiday season, I thought it looked maybe family, including pets, you know, like just what the family is doing when they're getting together, maybe family portraits or just anything like that. But of course, it's open for discussion by all means.
Yeah, we might run into the problem of, you know, posting people. You know, that's always been the one thing why we haven't done like portraits and, you know, group photos and stuff like that. Family photos. You know, it's a good idea. And sometimes we have ideas of, you know, more of the abstract, you know, where you can sort of kind of tell who it is, but it's not, you know. It's not like somebody's child and all of a sudden they come across our site and they go, hey, what's my child's face doing on your website? You know, type thing. We try to avoid things like that.
Have we done night photography lately?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because, I mean, for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, where our days are much shorter. Those in the southern hemisphere, they're on the longer days now, but I don't know. You can always try night photography and get people's creative juices flowing for expanding their photography into something that, you know, maybe a lot of people haven't tried before.
Okay, let's see here. Photography. Typing it in to see what pops up.
Yeah, I'm also agreeing with Ted is that because everyone gets out of work after dark. And it is that time of year where it seems like you get to work before it gets light and you leave after it start, or right when it's starting to get dark.
Well, looks like the last time we did it was in 2015. So, yep, I'm good with
Okay, before we commit.
Okay.
Bill Count in the chat room has a good idea. Your favorite photo of the year from your collection.
Okay, well, let's see here. So if we did it this week, let me look at my calendar.
It would take us to the 28th.
To the 28th. That would actually be a good one to put.
Next time?
Actually, no, this time, because the 28th, we would choose a new one, and that would be picked in the new year.
Okay.
So, favorite photo from 2017.
Sounds good.
Sounds good to me. All right. Any objections? Too late. All right. All right. So, our weekly photo challenge will be favorite image from 2017. All right. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to bring up?
Let me check here. Well, you know what? Since we're doing the favorite image from 2017, and I posted this in the Facebook group where the 2017 best nine for Instagram.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They put up their site. So it's 2017bestnine.com. Where all you have to do is put in the Instagram username. So you don't have to log into Instagram, which is a nice thing. And it will give you your top nine. I hate to use the term best photos of the year. It's just the top nine, the ones with the most likes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be, I know a lot of times likes are a lot more personal than what someone may consider their best photo.
Yeah.
But, you know, that definitely, especially since we're getting near the end of the year.
Yeah.
The other thing is a new app that, and I posted this also in the group and posted a video review of it in the group. Selfissimo, put out by Google Research Group, where I could see this being really popular during family get-togethers.
And for about 5 minutes.
Well, you know, sometimes, and I hate to say it, I know a lot of families you only see each other birthdays, major holidays,
weddings,
weddings and things like that. So you're not seeing it's a nice way, and it's a nice, like I said, if you don't see someone once in a while, that makes a good icebreaker too. Where the app is only for selfies. It only uses the front facing. It's in black and white. But the idea is once you start up the app, it automatically takes photos as you're posing.
How do you spell it?
Does it sense motion?
It does. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I tried it when I was talking as part of the review, it started to, just to do photos, but as I was actually doing poses, it actually took a photo, and it just keeps taking photos until you hit stop, and you can select whatever photo you like and save it. But especially if you where it's something where you can just kind of pull it out and everyone can just try do their goofiest pose, it's something where I like I said it's something that's a 5-10 minute, it's nothing, and honestly I don't see it's something I'm going to be using forever and ever, but it's something that's a little bit different. Also, if you're trying to do selfies in front of something, it's always it's always that one thing of, well, you have to hold your hand out there and make sure you click the button to take the selfie, where this, all you have to do is hold the phone and it takes the photo on its own.
How do you spell it?
I actually put it in the, in the notes. Chat. There.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. Do, do. And I just bolded him.
All right.
in the notes. Let me see. They were trying to be kind of.
Oh, I see.
The name.
It's self, ISSIMO.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And in the spirit of season, you know, it must be an important, like fragile.
Yeah.
Outside the box. And it is, of course, I hate to say, of course, being a Google app, it is a free app. But you don't have to log in. You don't have to sign in. You don't have to do it. You just have to download it and it'll start taking pictures. And it just does the normal. It wants to use your camera and have access to the photo. So you can take the photo and save it. But there's nothing. And as far as I know, everything's done on the phone itself. There's nothing. There's no uploading to the server. Huh. Which is, I know, I hate to say, anything you deal with Google, it's nice to know it doesn't have to log in, upload it to the server for it to do its processing, but everything's done on camera.
Yeah.
Even on the older one like mine, it seems to work pretty good with speed wise too.
Yeah, this one looks like it's too expensive for me. I don't think I'll be getting this one. Oh yeah, I kid. All right, so self-sisimo. All right, well, anything else? Because I think we have ourselves a show.
Sounds good.
I got nothing.
All right, let me play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
All right, let's do this. Greg, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Okay, you can find me on Instagram, and my username is at shotonIphoneOnly. And on Twitter, I am at shotonAniPhone.
Excellent. Dave, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yep. For mainly photography things, it's Instagram is ProfPod. And if you use the Mission Pick app, I'm on ProfPod on there.
Excellent. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find links to our YouTube channel, our Facebook group, our show notes, or anything else by going to tinyshutter.com. All right. Well, see here. My brain is full. Does that count?
Most definitely.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. Thanks for, thanks for coming on the show. And, I hate that we missed last week, but, life happens. But I'm hoping that we'll have the next couple shows, even though the Christmas season is upon us and then New Year's will be here. Hopefully everybody will be here. And I look forward to seeing you guys next week. So why don't you guys say goodnight?
Good night, all.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening. Have a glorious week.
And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
I thought you were dead.
Oh, no. I told you. Well, I fibbed a little bit, but don't be mad.
Remember, it's better to tell the truth.
And that's no lie. Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Barely.